You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm 23. The title of this message is Jesus, Our Shepherd. Jesus, Our Shepherd. And Father, we do thank you so much that you've given us your word. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love us so much that you will share these things with us. Share your heart with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm chapter 23. Now, the 23rd Psalm, we hear, I guarantee you, probably at every funeral. And somewhere along the line, you're going to hear about the 23rd Psalm. It's read at every funeral. And some even, you know, turn with me in the first division of the book of Psalm, chapter 23. And they get all spiritual about it. And the Lord is my shepherd. And, you know, and we've all heard it. But this is by far one of the most famous psalms David has ever written. He wrote, as I mentioned last week, approximately 75 psalms. But what I didn't tell you is that another 20 of them could have been written by him as well. And Psalm 23 is dealing with the life of Christ, how he is our good shepherd. It is amazing how we are depicted as sheep in the Bible. Out of all the animals, why sheep? Well, sheep are not the most brilliant animal out there in the animal kingdom. And as I look at my own life, I can tell why we are compared to them. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. The amazing thing about sheep is that they are kind of harmless and helpless. And to give you an example, it is recorded that a squirrel attacked a sheep and killed it. A squirrel. Another thing about sheep is that if they are walking and one falls off the cliff, well, the others will follow to their death. Sheep are very interesting animals. And let's see what David had to say about sheep and shepherds. Being a shepherd himself, we can learn some things about our good shepherd, but David is writing Psalm 23, not as a shepherd, but as one of the sheep in the eyes of the Lord. So for you note takers, I apologize in advance that I went from only doing PowerPoint notes for maybe two verses, and then I decided to do the whole Psalm. So your note-taking is going to be put to the test this morning. So just know that. So let's dive right in. Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, there is so much in this little verse alone that I could have easily have spent just the whole time in just this one verse. To be honest with you, I could have taken all six of these verses and spent the week in each verse. It's a lot to digest. Just to start with, it says the Lord. With anything we want to do spiritually, it has to start with the Lord. And notice how it says the Lord is. The Lord is what? Well, whatever it is you need for him to be. See, if you need comfort, he can be that. If you need peace, you can be that. He can be that. Joy, whatever it is you need, he can be that. You remember when, you know, God told Moses, right around Exodus 3, verses 14 and 15, Moses said, you know, that's good that you're talking to me, but and you're sending me to go back to the Israelites. He said, that's great, but they're going to ask me, well, who is it that you talk to? What is his name? And you remember, well, I don't know, if you're my age and older, you remember Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments. Tell him I am that I am. Tell him I am sent you. I am. It's a phrase that means the self-existing one. That he can be to us whatever it is we need for him to be in our lives. He's just that. Notice how it said, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice the possessive pronoun, my. He's my shepherd. Well, that's kind of selfish. I don't care how you look at that. But I'm going to say he's my shepherd. Can you say that? Can you say that he is truly your shepherd? Is he, you know, some people, you know, this is my husband and he mine, all mine. Well, you can have him, number one. Nobody want him but you. That's one. That's number one. But notice the possessive pronoun. It's my shepherd. He's mine. He belongs to me. And because he belongs to me, notice how he says, I shall not want. I love that. I shall not want. I want to draw your attention to the word want. Chaser is that Hebrew word. And it means not lacking, not deficient. It carries the idea of being totally content with the good shepherd's care and not craving or desiring something else. To put it all together, he says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be lacking, deficient. I won't crave or desire anything else because whatever it is that I will want is found in my shepherd. I won't lack in my life. Oh, sure, we will go through tough times. And at times, you know, it says in John 16:33, it says, in the world you'll have tribulation. With me you'll have peace. So we'll go through some things, but we won't lack. We will be satisfied with God. We'll be satisfied with him. And I've asked you this over the years. Are you satisfied with Christ? Or is it Christ and something else? Christ and a marriage proposal. Christ and a spouse of some sort. Christ and I'm not even going to use that word y'all use, significant other. I hate that phrase. But are you satisfied with him? Or are you craving other things? Craving things that are unchristlike, craving things. Notice, when the Lord is my shepherd, when you can say that, he says, I shall not want. And everything else we're going to talk about in the rest of this psalm is as a result of the Lord being your shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Notice what he says. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So now we're under the shepherd's care. We know that, you know, being under his care, we shall not want, we shall not lack. And notice it's very clear right here. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I love how the great commentator who's now going on to be with the Lord, Warren Wiersbe, he says, I want you to notice how he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Sometimes he has to make us. Because we won't lie down in and of ourselves. The Lord is trying to bring us a level of peace, being under his care, a level of rest. Because he's our shepherd, he wants to give us rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? He'll give us rest. And God is trying to bring rest in our lives, the peace in our lives, but we're so busy craving and desiring, chasing other things that sometimes he has to make us lie down in green pastures. Maybe you're here and God is making you lie down. You can't even get up. You're at home convalescing of some sort. Because you're so busy running around and cutting up and doing everything. Sometimes, slow. And he has to make us lie down. In green pastures. I'm in the gym 6 days a week. And now you can't go at all. Could it be that he's making you lie down? I don't have time to get into the word and the things of God like I should. But maybe he's making you lie down. Why do you think God wakes you up in the middle of the night sometimes? Because he knows during the day he ain't going to get a word from you. So sometimes he has to make us lie down in green pastures. Not only that, look what else it says. He leads me beside the still waters. So not only does he make us lie down, he leads us beside the still waters. This is really good. Because it was the shepherd's job is to always take the sheep where they can constantly have a source of water. He leads me beside the still water. I want to draw your attention to the word still. Minutia is that Hebrew word, and it means resting place, a quiet place, a place of peace. Jesus wants to bring us that peace and bring us to that place of peace. This is why he wants to lead us beside the still waters. Storms are always brewing and always coming in our lives, and the Lord wants to lead us to a place where things are still. They're at rest. And he wants to lead us to these places. So often we jump in from one storm into another. Waves rocking and carrying on. And the Lord said, oh no, I just wanna bring you to a place of peace. A place where you can have peace. Aren't you tired of the chaos? Aren't you tired of the craziness? Aren't you tired of stuff always being rocky? And here's the Lord. He's trying to bring you to a place where you can have a place of peace. Oh, I love verse 3. Oh, boy. He says, he restores my soul. Now, some people may say, well, if the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. How is it that our souls get to a place that they need to be restored? It's very easy. When we don't allow the good shepherd, when we don't allow the Lord, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, when we don't allow him to lead our lives, we find our souls cast down. David said, why thou cast down on my soul? Why thou disquieted within me? Notice what he says, hope in God. The word soul there is the Hebrew word psyche. And it's amazing because the psyche, in its purest definition, it means the study of the soul. It speaks of the soul. Psychology, which is where the word came from, it used to mean the study of the soul. And then when man saw that he was clueless on how to guide people and heal people in their soul, then watch this. Watch how the etymology of the word changed. It went from the study of the soul, you psych majors, it went from the study of the soul to the study of human behavior. They said, well, let's get God out of the picture. Let's just look at man. Oh, he's always acting like this. He's always doing this. Oh, so let's write on this. And let's write and just say, well, based upon our studies, this is the way you get healed. And we all over Maslow and Jung, Carl Jung, and Freud with his perverted self. Id, the super id, and all that crazy mess that you had to study and write papers on and do all that crazy stuff. So now man knows more than God. When the definition of psyche is the study of the soul is God's business. The soul is what will spend eternity in heaven or hell. Man has no say on, man, he better not fool with that. That's a subject he better not fool with. But he tries. It came along, it was popularized in 1934 to give an alternative to Christianity, saying this is the study of mankind minus God. And therefore, now it's popularized now for what it is. And I know many of you may have a degree in psychology and whatever, because you had a desire to help people and that sort of thing. Just know you can't help a soul without God's help. You can't help anybody. They can lay on your couch until they're blue in the face. You ain't helping a soul. And people think that they're you know, I don't mean to be. This type of way. I always ask young people, oh, can you go on to school? Yeah. What you majoring in? And they think they're being very, because I can see how their eyes kind of, psychology. Like I'm going to be impressed by that, number one. And then I follow it up with, what you going to do with that? If you don't have a doctorate degree in it, what are you going to do with that? And as many with that type of major, working at Sam's Club, Walmart, at the mall. Because the soul is God's business. Notice the pronoun. He restores my soul. He, who is the he? The good shepherd in verse 1. That's the one. The one I shall not want. That's the he who restores my soul. That's the only he that can restore our soul. God bless you. You want to help people? Praise the Lord. But you better get this out. If you want to help anybody. Because Freud ain't going to help you. Like I said, with his perverted self. That guy was nuts. I'm not ashamed to say it, you know. Well, I'm getting offended. I don't care. You get offended. You offended over Freud? Really? That guy was nuts. Well, see, the reason why the boy gravitates toward his mother because he really got romantic feelings on the inside for his mother. I said, you're nuts. You're crazy. But this is what we have to see. God is the one who restores our soul. Notice. He leads me. The shepherd is leading again. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It was the shepherd's job to go ahead of the sheep to clear the land of rocks and rubbish and all kind of other stuff. So when the sheep come by, they can feed and don't have to eat roots and dirt and stuff. So he'll clear the way. And notice that it's God. It's he. The one who leads us in path of righteousness for his sake. God is always going to lead us in the way that's going to lead to righteousness. Right living. Righteousness. Right living before God and right living before man. He's always going to lead us that way. You holding grudges, you angry and mad and being on spite and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. Don't say, the Lord was leading me to get rid of all these toxic people in my life. No, don't blame that on the Lord. Lord didn't lead you there. He will always lead you into righteousness, right paths, ways to get things right with people, not to wipe people out because they're toxic. I told you before, you're toxic too. Why don't you put yourself in that? in that category. You just as toxic as everybody else. You got your little twerk, your works, and your little twitches and things and little things you like to do and don't like. You're just as weird too. The Lord will always lead us into right paths, ways to get right with Him, ways to get right with others. Always. That's His MO. Notice, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice He says, and this is one of the main reasons why we see this red at funerals. But folks, because they don't get taught the word, they just let it go in one ear out the other and they think nothing of it. And then the next funeral we both go to, this song will be read. And it, so you can know why. But notice He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say I was going to stay there. He didn't say I was going to camp there and set up a tent. He says, I'm going to walk through the valley, notice, of the shadow of death. Not death itself, but a shadow. You go outside right now in that 100 degrees that's waiting on you right after service. You go out there, you're going to see your shadow. That shadow is not you. It lets folks know that you're coming, but it's not you. It's a shadow of you. So yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But then we're going to see at the next funeral, well, you know, they walked through the valley of the shadow. No, through the valley of the shadow of death. Many people and Christians always talk about how they want to go higher in the Lord. I love the mountaintop experiences with the Lord. Well, the way that you get to the mountaintop is through the valley. People fail to realize you just don't get transported up to a mountaintop. You've seen many climbers. They got to go through the valley and make their way up. That's how God takes you to higher places in Him. He has to take you through some valley experiences, some valley of the shadow of death, where you think that you're going to die. You think that things are going to die in your life. That's how He takes you to the next mountaintop experiences. And notice He says, because I'm just walking through the valley, not staying there, of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? He said, because you're with me. David knew no matter what he went through with was King Saul, no matter what he went through with the other enemies, he says, I'm going to be good. I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to fear. Because I know you are with me. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you heard me in the Greek language, it's more emphatic. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. Well, I'm in the valley right now. He won't leave you nor forsake you, so you don't have to freak out and fear. Because He's going to be with you. Because He loves you. He may be trying to take you to another level in Him. Maybe there are some things that need to die in your life. Some relationships that need to die. Maybe there's something that needs to die in your life that He has to take you through the valley of the shadow of death. So you learn to trust and not fear. Because no matter how you feel, He's with you. This is the promise of having a good shepherd, the benefit of having a good shepherd in your life. I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Notice He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Wow. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How in the world would a rod and a staff comfort us? You know, you've seen it. You know, the shepherds with the little bow peep hook, you know. That was a staff. There was a rod that the shepherd had. He would fight off predators and wolves and anything or anyone that would come after his sheep. He would have a rod and he would beat them off. But he said, notice, the rod and staff, they comfort not the predators. They comfort me. How? Well, you remember I read in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We all go astray. And the Lord knows that. We keep going astray, he brings us back. He keeps going astray, he brings us back. So what happens is, as sheep keep going astray, the shepherd would see that, he would take his rod. He would get a good distance back, and he'll look, and he will, boom, break the legs of the sheep. And he'll grab that little lamb, place it on his shoulders, and he will carry it around until those little bitty legs heal. And he's whispering sweet nothings to that little lamb, and the intimate relationship is developed. And watch this. When those legs heal, he places the little lamb down. That lamb never goes astray again. Maybe you're here and you feel like you're being broken, that your legs are being cut out from under you. It's because you and I have a tendency of going astray. And he sees that you keep going astray, keep going astray. So lovingly, rod and staff, they comfort me. Notice lovingly here, take that rod. Bop! Tear those legs up. Legs in shambles. And then he'll pick up, put it around his neck. He'll whisper words of comfort, tender words to you. Intimate relationship is developed there. And you'll understand his love and his grace and his forgiveness. That he, when he put your little hind part back down, you're not going to go astray again. You remember the brokenness of your legs. Notice he says your rod and your staff, they come from me. What happens is that when the shepherd will see the sheep getting close to the edge of the cliff, because they're always going astray, and he knows if one go over, all of them going to follow suit. Nutty, nutty animal. And so he'll take that little bow peep hook, and he'll apply pressure on the side of that sheep to nudge him away from the edge. And maybe you're here and you feel pressure. There's a pressure that God is applying to you because he sees that you're getting close to the edge and you're about to fall off the deep end. So he's applying that pressure in your life to tell you, get away from there. Get away from that cliff. You've fallen a few times there. And so the Lord will apply that pressure in your life and in my life. And that's how the rod and staff, they comfort us. Notice it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Notice, even though you got the good shepherd, even though you have the Lord as your shepherd, you're still going to have enemies. It's not, I mean, I was about to say, you can be Jesus and have enemies. Jesus had enemies. So no matter what, you can't escape that. You're going to have some enemies. Notice, I love this. I've seen this happen in my own life. Sometimes it chokes me up to think about it. No matter what, you're going to have enemies. And the Lord has... He has done just this. He's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, meaning that the things that my enemies were looking for me to fall, looking for me to get knocked out of the ministry, looking for me to collapse, the Lord has allowed for me to feast in the presence of my enemies. And they see me, instead of falling, being exalted. They see me feasting on the things of God instead of being led astray. I've seen this happen. There are enemies of yours that's come from the enemy himself that want to see you fall. They want to see you do bad. They don't, they're not, I love that one meme on social media. And it was a person you know, looking with an evil face like this. And he said that there are some people who are reading your posts, and this is how they're looking. They're not happy for you. Not everybody's happy for you. That's why if you notice for me, it's rare that I'll post anything that is happening to me. I rarely do that because I know everybody's not happy. That there are people that's looking at that post, reading that post, and it's like, ooh. And the Lord would just have me feast in the presence of my enemies. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And as I'm feasting, they're like, ooh, oh, hate that guy. And they're gnashing their teeth. And they're doing the same with you. And the Lord will, as you allow him to lead your life, he will set a banquet up, and you just a feasting, pigging out like it's a buffet, and there are enemies of yours that's just looking with that one eye kind of closed, you know, with that look, that head kind of slightly turned, and they hate it, but the Lord will have you see it as he allowed for you to feast in front of your enemies. Notice the last part. You anoint my head with oil. Oh, wow. This is a great thing here. One of the worst things that can happen, especially in the summertime for sheep, is the flies, the bugs, the ticks. And there's a certain fly that will come and attack the nose of the sheep because that moist nose and that moist nostril, flies will try to land there and drop some eggs. And then as they drop the eggs, the worms slide up into the sheep's nostril and drive them mad. They're shaking their head and, you know, just going crazy. So in order to keep the bugs away and the ticks away, is that the shepherd will come and anoint the head and the nose of the sheep to keep the ticks and bugs away. And so to it, as you know where I'm going, there are things that bug us and tick us off. And so it's a sign that we need an extra anointing of God's oil, because as you know, you apply oil, it dries up. And when you start getting bugged and ticked off like me with the driving out there, when you start getting bugged and ticked off like that, it's a sign that that oil of God's spirit has dried up and you need a new application of that in your life. You did everything, you shortened like you got a tick. You just, you're nuts. It's a sign that you need to get an anointed, a fresh anointing of God's spirit. The second thing is that one of the things about the sheep is that the older sheep, I mean, you know, it's this, you can't make this stuff up. It's like gang stuff. The older sheep will kind of punk the younger sheep. And whenever they get around their territory, they will start headbutting each other. It's crazy stuff. And so they will get bruised as they butting heads and bruising, you know. So the shepherd would take oil and anoint, like I said, the head and the nose, but anoint the head. So when they begin to headbutt, they slide off each other. Are you bumping heads with other folks? What about your spouse? What about your children? What about everybody, period? You just bumping heads with everybody. It's a sign that the oil of the Spirit has dried up and you need a fresh application. Just look, you're getting into it with children and folks, and nowadays I have to say this, stepchildren, and just nuts. Getting into it with all kinds of folks. It's a sign that the oil has dried up and that you need a fresh anointing of God's oil. Well, you say, I'm a believer. How do I get that? Luke 11, verse 13, for you note takers. It says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It's yours and mine's for the asking. Oh, God, I see that I'm just bumping heads with everybody. Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And he'll give you just that, a fresh anointing of his Spirit. Notice, he says, as a result of all this, my cup is going to run over. I'm just going to spill over. We know that as believers, that when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit comes in us and fills us to the brim. When you ask for a fresh filling of the Spirit of God, that's where you keep pouring into a cup that's already filled. And it just runs over all over the place. And if your cup isn't running over, maybe you just need a fresh filling of God's Holy Spirit in your life. Notice he says, surely, not it might, or if the Lord thinks it's a good idea. He said, no, surely, goodness and mercy, because as we walk with God, we need God's mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. How many people think that we need God's mercy? If mercy is not getting what you deserve, I don't know about you. I need God's mercy. And so he says that as a result of Jesus being the good shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Let me go back to the word goodness. Because he's our good shepherd, he knows what's good for us. He knows that. He knows what's good. I love this verse, Psalm 84, verse 11. It said that God would not withhold no good thing to those who walk uprightly. So if it is good for you, if it is good for me, you will have it.
Well, I really want this person to be my spouse. I don't have them yet.
It's because it's not good for you. That person isn't good for you.
Well, I need a sailboat.
Amen. And we wouldn't see you because every Sunday you'd be sailing.
Sailing, take me away where I always wanted to be.
And I know that's what you'll be. And the Lord knows that, and that's why you don't have one. He would not withhold no good thing to those who walk uprightly. If you're walking uprightly and he sees it's good for you, you'll have it. Simple as that. That's why he said you have not because you ask not. If it's good for you, you'll have it. If you don't have it, watch this. Either it's not good for you or it's not the right timing for you to have it. God may see you need to mature a little bit before he gives you that person or that thing or whatever it is you think you need to have. So surely his goodness and mercy shall follow me for a couple of weeks. No. Oh, your Bible doesn't say that? Oh, okay. It says all the days of my life and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I never thought that I would live in a time where people and believers didn't want to come to church. I never thought I would live in such a time. I thought, like I've always said, my grandchildren would live in today's time. And I'd be long gone, doing a little skip on the streets of gold up in heaven. We're here. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There are a lot of people who call themselves believers who are not glad to go into the house of the Lord. I'm shocked. I'm shocked all the time when people come up to me, even as recent as maybe a few months ago. Pastor Tony, it's my first time back in church since COVID. I said, You can be out of church 4 years and be okay? Be okay with that? I don't understand. Notice that David said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And there are some people like, oh boy. Maybe I feel that way if there, I get to heaven, there ain't no COVID up there. Nuts. I never thought I would live in a day where this, we used to read this, I said, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right. Hey, I hope they give me a key so I can just stay in the house of the Lord forever, you know. That's not how people feel today. Oh, sure, there's a lot of tomfoolery that goes on in the church. There's a lot of, just a lot of nutty stuff, a lot of crazy stuff. Yeah. A lot of crazy stuff going on in the mall. You still shopping there. It's a fight every other weekend. You still going. You said the service was terrible at that restaurant, but you back at it again. My present situation. You back. But church, oh, never going back again. Did you hear? Absolutely nutty stuff. I just did not think these eyes will see these days. I tell you, when I first got saved, they practically had to give me a key to the church. I always wanted to be there to sing the songs of Zion. I've sung enough secular songs to all it takes is just the tune and it comes right back to all the lyrics come right back. I've done enough of that. I'm like, I'm saved now. I want to be with the people of God, sing the songs of Zion. I want to hear the word of God taught to guide me and direct my life. I did the secular thing. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hey, let's go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. To the point where when I first got saved, I was in Okinawa, Japan. And so I used to drive the bus. Oh, come on. They had a little church, a little van, a little van thing with, name on the side. And, and we all piled in from our camp, Camp Courtney over there. And we were singing songs, design, we on our way to church. We just couldn't get enough. Then I came back to America, came back to the States. And I had an hour drive to get to my, the part of Camp Pendleton that I was on. And I'm listening to worship music, teachings, and all that stuff. Wednesday nights, I'm like, okay, we get off at 16:30. That's 4:30 for you non-military minded. Okay. And so I'm zooming to get to church on Wednesday night. Going in there. Then once I got out of the Marine Corps, then I in my cable uniform, Wednesday night, I finish up. I'm walking right in there. Boy, I'm glad when they said unto me. It's almost like the Christianity that I got raised and brought under, it's like it's a unicorn. Like something that's just weird. It's like, whoa, what's that? And the Christianity today, I'm the same way. I'm like, what's this? It's a difference. So, amen. I made it through Psalm 23, the whole song. Amen. You'll be shocked at what all I left out. And I feel a certain way about that, but I'm okay. Because I'm just giving you a taste of the Psalms. Let me wrap it up with this. We saw when the Lord is our shepherd, we won't lack. We won't crave. Not saying we won't fall. We will. There's times. For we stumble in many things, James 3:2 says. So we will. But when the Lord is our shepherd, we won't lack. Sometimes he'll have to make us lie down in green pastures. But he's trying to lead us beside the still waters. And when we are cast down, he restores our soul.
He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yeah, we're going to walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, but we don't have to fear any evil because he's with us. And his rod and his staff, they're going to comfort us. And he'll have a table prepared for you to feast in the presence of your enemies. He's going to have your cup runneth over. And surely, not might, surely, he's your good shepherd. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. However you feel about that. That's exciting for me. To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To dwell wherever he is. And to dwell there not for just a couple of weeks. Or like a beach vacation spot for a week. No, he said forever. And that's because Jesus is our good shepherd. Is he your good shepherd? He can be today. If you surrender your life to him, he can be your good shepherd. And he can restore your soul. Life can break us. At least have us cast down. And he can restore our soul. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for your word. We pray, God, that you would minister this word to us. Draw us to you by your Holy Spirit. Lord, draw us to your throne of grace. And Lord, I pray for anyone here who has not made you their Lord and shepherd. And Lord, I pray that they repent of their sins today and accept Christ into their hearts as their Lord and Savior. Lord, if what was said today was foreign to some, I pray that you draw them to your throne of grace today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Tony Clark. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Tony's teaching ministry by visiting calvarynn.org.